Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Welcome back to Right on Four Corners. I'm your host, Delcherie Gladden. I'm an author of over 30 published novels and a ninth grade English teacher. And on this week's episode, I have Marie Stewart, and she's going to be talking to us about her novel, Finding the Strength to Prevail. Marie, go ahead and introduce yourself.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me. My name is Marie Stewart, and I'm a first-time author of Finding the Strength to Prevail, which is a fiction novel. Initially, when I wrote my book, I pictured my audience as being teens and young adults. But I'm finding that my mom's generation is loving my book. My mom is my biggest cheerleader. It's like having my own marketing agent. She tells everyone she sees about my book. And the majority of my books I've personally sold are thanks to her. I'm just a small town girl trying to live my dream as an author. I was born in El Centro, California, but moved to Richfield, Utah when I was just a child. Throughout my high school years, I was not a very outgoing person, and struggled in social environments, but writing was my passion and it was my outlet. And I got married right out of high school, started a family, life got busy, raising children, working two or more jobs just to make ends meet. So unfortunately, my writing got put on the back burner for over 30 years. Finally, in 2020, I was given the opportunity to quit my job of 30 years and just stay home and have my husband run our family business. And that gave me the opportunity to start writing again. And in August of 2022, I published my book. I love reading, writing, sewing, scrapbooking, and spending time with my family. But oftentimes you can find me gallivanting on my Harley or in the mountains ranger ride. But my happy place is soaking in the sun and checking out the views at Lake Powell.
Thank you for that. That sounds like a wonderful point you're at now. It's always interesting to see how authors work writing into their lives and find the time and space amongst life and family and work and everything else. So I'm glad you've been able to do that and settle into what sounds like a good rhythm for managing and balancing everything.
Yes, it's been an amazing journey.
Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the premise of the book and to give our listeners an idea of, because there's really multiple stories that all kind of come together. So take a minute and kind of tell us generally what the story is about, and then we'll dig in a little bit deeper into your characters and the structure and how you put it together.
All right. So my story is about four young girls. There's Sarah, Michelle, Agisa, and Elizabeth, and they have it all until experiences in their lives changes that for them, and it leaves them suffering neglect and hunger and abuse. Well, the four girls prove to be superior in strength as they fight their courageous battles. The four girls, they all end up moving to the same area and go to the same high school, and that's when they meet and they help each other get through their hardships in their life, and they finally find the family that they've been looking for their whole lives.
Now, you took an interesting structure with this. Each of the four girls, you alternate between their chapters, telling their life stories.
Yeah.
Individually, up until the point, like you mentioned later in the book, they find those connections and kind of end up through various methods and reasons, kind of end up close to each other. So tell me about that structure and how you decided to put the story together. In reading similar stories of, you know, multiple characters, you can go a couple of different routes. And what made you want to keep each story separate as you told each of their life stories? Because it kind of leaves the reader wondering when these connections are going to come into place and how the story will come together.
Yes, absolutely. So when I first started the story was all about Sarah. Sarah was the girl that I started writing about. Well, I got a little bit of writer's block and I started writing another story and it continued on. Pretty soon I had four characters and I started writing stories about them. And all of a sudden one night I was sleeping and I woke up in the middle of the night and it just kind of came to me that these four girls needed to all be in the same book together and that these four girls needed to find each other. And so then I just started like forming it together to where it just all came together that they were finding each other to find the strength to get through life.
That's interesting. I had wondered if you had planned the four characters or if they had kind of come together through separate projects. So that's really interesting to know because they all do have very unique individual stories and different trials that they go through. Like you mentioned, they all kind of start off in a good place, most of them pretty briefly for several of the characters. Like their lives change very early in the story. And then some of the characters kind of have that stable or semi-stable life to where you're not quite sure what their challenge is that they're going to face. But they all do confront some very difficult situations that we wish children never had to face. But unfortunately, that's not the reality of the world. So tell me how you developed the individual stories and kind of decided what their journeys were going to look like. One of the things that I noticed is that they do have unique challenges, and that can be hard to do, to not borrow too much or get into kind of the same ideas and thought processes when developing multiple stories like this. So I was curious kind of what your process was and how you decided what each girl's life was going to look like.
So I have very active imagination and I'm overthinker to boot. So when an idea crosses my mind, I have to think it through completely and my brain floods with the good and the bad. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for children that have been hungry, abused, neglected. I wanted to feel the pain, but I wanted to feel the happiness that they were feeling too. And I think that's probably why I started off as that they, you know, had a good, decent life. But then I wanted to add obstacles into their experiences to also let my readers feel what they were struggling with in their lives. I don't know if I'm really answering your question the way you want me to.
Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah, I'm just curious about your process and how you worked through it. I think that's a fun part of getting to talk to authors is seeing how we all approach our stories and develop them a little bit differently. One of the characters with Agisa, hers surprised me. And I won't give away her story so readers can find out about that. But hers had a little bit more of a surprising twist toward the end, where some of the other characters, we see them continually working through these challenges of neglect and hunger and not being treated well by the people who are supposed to be taking care of them. So her story was a little bit different because she comes from a very wealthy family where her challenge is more of absenteeism. She's left to nannies and various caretakers over the years. So her story kind of struck me as different from the others because it was a different kind of neglect and emotional challenges that she was facing rather than some of the more physical needs that some of the other girls are dealing with in their life. So how did her story develop kind of on a different track? Was that something, like you said, just the idea came to you, or did you want that contrast in one of the storylines?
Yeah, with Agisa, I wanted her to be a spoiled rotten little brat through the entire book. But at one point, all of a sudden, it was like, it just hit me. And so I added the little twist to it, and for some reason, all of a sudden, I just wanted her to be this innocent person, maybe because I felt bad for her because she was so felt abandoned. She felt like she had nothing to make friends, she felt like she had to be superior to other people to gain friends, which only made her lose friends and things like that. So I guess I just wanted her to not be a spoiled little brat her whole life.
I think you showed her progression really nicely. she has moments kind of where she starts to move in a better direction and then kind of takes a few steps back and then finds something else that starts motivating her to be a little bit less self-involved and see the wider world around her. I found that interesting that even through her early years, because most of the girls are in the range of like 6 to 8 years old in the opening chapters. So you see, you know, her being spoiled and tantrums and all of that as a young child. And then you see how that develops over time as a young adult when she's understanding more of her life and her experiences, but she still doesn't have that maturity to really process it and do more than react out of anger. Or at some point she finds people that she connects with and she starts to do better, and then, you know, something changes. And I liked that back and forth with her character.
Yes.
It felt realistic. I think a lot of us go through those same things. So we do a little better, we're making progress, and something sets us back.
Yep, absolutely.
And I liked the contrast that she provided with some of the other characters, especially Sarah. She starts out young, having lost her mom and living with an aunt who cares about her, but she's taken out of that environment pretty quickly in her story. And then we see she's facing challenges of just having her basic needs as a human met. When her father comes into the story, he's just really not what anyone would hope for in a caring parent. So she's going through life with these challenges of just getting those basic things that she needs to survive, food and being clean. As a young girl, she doesn't know how to take care of a lot of those things on her own yet, and she has to kind of figure it out as she goes. We get this different view of what it takes to mature and take care of yourself and meet those challenges versus Agisa, who has all of her basic needs met, and she's really got to figure out her maturity and emotional and intellectual strength to take care of herself in that regard. Whereas with Sarah, it's the physical first, just, you know, safety and shelter and food and all of that. So it's a very different type of story as far as the challenges that they're facing. But we're seeing a lot of those same movements with her. And I wanted to ask you about the difference between those two stories and developing Sarah's character and what she's facing versus Agisa.
Yes. So Sarah, I wanted her to appear to be the strong one, the one who probably suffered, well, maybe Elizabeth suffered as much as she did, but she suffered more than any of them. And I wanted to show that she had the mentality to be strong and courageous and figure things out on her own. And she was able to pretty much learn to survive on her own. She had nothing to help her, really. And so with Agisa, you know, Agisa had everything, but the love and caring parents, I mean, her parents loved her, but she didn't have time with them. They didn't give her that kind of love. Whereas Michelle had very loving, kind parents who kind of maybe overprotected her and didn't let her see life enough that she decided she needed to sneak out and do things she shouldn't, causing her to have bad experiences in her life. And where Elizabeth, everything started out with very great loving parents until they had decided that they were going to decide to relive their teenage years, leaving their children neglected. So each one of the girls have definitely had their trials in their life, but I wanted Sarah to be the most strong, courageous, bold girl.
I think you did a nice job with that. We see her resourcefulness, her strength throughout the different challenges that she faces. And we get to know her first in the book. And I liked starting off with her because she kind of led the way for the other girls' stories. We see what she's facing, and then we see these variations through the other stories and their different reactions to them. So I really liked that structure of going through each of the girls' lives chapter by chapter, rotating through and seeing their different ways of understanding their experiences and then both reacting Sometimes it was more of a reaction to what was happening. And then at other times, especially as they grow older, a little bit more of understanding and processing and trying to work through what they were facing. And they all do it so differently, which I thought was a really nice way of showing those differences in reality of each of us face our own set of trials and we're going to work through them in our own way. And I think the more stories do that, the better it helps us as readers be a little bit more open and less judgmental to other people that we may encounter in our lives.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and in my book, I was really hoping that my readers would be able to feel the different personalities of each girl. I was wanting, you know, I didn't want them to come out as kind of all having the same feelings or the same personalities. I wanted Sarah to be more the quieter but more courageous one. I wanted Issa to be the more spoiled, mouthy one. I wanted Michelle to be Michelle was more, she was very passionate about dancing, but she also spoke up when she wasn't supposed to and come off kind of rude at times. And then Elizabeth was just sweet and nurturing and caring. And so I was hoping my readers would feel the different personalities of each girl.
Well, I think they definitely will. I was struck by that. That was one of the things that I took notice of. Because I think it can be very hard for writers to give that uniqueness to characters within the same story. Because you kind of get into a mode and you start writing and it can be hard to give that unique voice to each individual character. And I thought that that was something you did a really nice job of. How did you approach that as far as developing each character in such a unique way? Did you have a special way of approaching that, or ideas or tips for other writers who may be struggling with that? Because I know, like I said, that is one that I think especially in those first few projects, a lot of people do struggle with creating that level of unique voice for each character.
Yeah, so it helps me a lot that I started each story at different levels. And so when I would write about a character, I was starting the story off with a complete different personality. And so when my characters, each story was starting with a different personality, I was able to carry the personality through and keep taking it farther, I guess.
So as you were writing, how much of each girl's story did you write by itself, I guess? Because it's organized where you go through one chapter for each of the girls and then rotate back through one chapter. But it sounds like you didn't write it that way necessarily.
I had probably made it in three chapters on each girl when I finally had decided that I was going to put it all together as one.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting. So that may be a nice trick for someone to attempt if you're struggling with creating those unique voices, to maybe focus in on writing just that character until you establish that voice. And then it sounds like after that, then you were able to keep working with that voice when you went back to each girl.
Yes.
Wonderful. I like that approach. That is not something I have attempted, but I like that. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I wanted to talk to you as well about just the overall idea of the story and what you're hoping that readers get out of it. It deals with, as you've mentioned, a lot of difficult topics. I would say for readers who are listening who are maybe sensitive to some of those topics, just being aware, you know, there is some pretty severe abuse and neglect and things of that nature that can be difficult for readers and may not be something that they want to read. But overall, in talking about some of these difficult topics and difficult things, especially dealing with children, what was your overall goal and what you were hoping readers can take away from these girls' stories?
I was hoping, like for the younger generation, when I first originally wrote my book, I was doing it as a coming of age genre, that the younger, you know, young adults and teens, maybe middle age on up, would read. And so I was hoping that if any of these people had experienced these things and never had gotten any kind of help or didn't have somebody to talk to or a friend to talk to, that they would realize that there are other people that have experienced similar things to what they have gone through, and that they would realize that there is life after situations like that in your life, and that maybe they would seek somebody to talk to, get it off their chest, and that other people would understand them and maybe find the strength to prevent experiences in their life as well.
That's a wonderful message and a goal. I think that that is something that's wonderful about literature, is it does help us open up our worlds and understand more about what other people have faced, and then see some of ourselves in literature. So I hope that readers can take that away from this and know that, you know, if they have experienced something, that they're not alone. And for maybe those who have not experienced some of these instances, to have a better understanding and more compassion for those who have struggled through these types of abuse and neglect and different experiences in their life. You do make a point in several of the stories of the importance of having that person who can listen, even if it's not always someone who can do anything to change the situation, but having that other person to just be there to offer that strength and support in a moment when it's needed, that can really make a big difference for someone who's struggling. And you have several instances of that in the book. And let me ask you a little bit more about that. In one of the situations, there's more of a formal therapy setting. In other situations, we have the email pen pals, where two of the girls connect, and a couple of other methods of just having that person who comes into their life who, at the right time or in the moment, offers something that's needed. Tell me a little bit more about developing that part of the story arc and bringing those connections into their lives.
All right. So, you know, it's kind of crazy with me. My ideas always come to me, like when I'm doing dishes or making my bed or vacuuming, all of a sudden an idea will just come into my head. I have to stop what I'm doing and go write it down. And it takes me three times as long to clean the house because of it. But I just have an active imagination, and I don't honestly know where the ideas even came from. Things come to me. My ideas just come to me.
Well, I like that you're trusting your instincts and the things that come, and you're willing to put those into play and see where they go. So it sounds like you're definitely more of a discovery type writer, of not heavily outlining your stories or your characters before you start. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah. When it came to like Agisa's name, I did a lot of research searching for the right name for her. And I do a lot of research when it comes to trying to find the right places for things, the right wording for things when it comes to like a therapy session or something like that. But generally, most of the things come from my active imagination.
Well, that's wonderful. It's a great source of inspiration. So I'm glad you've listened to that and incorporated that into your writing. And I think that's something that we all have some level of, that just what if and random ideas that come into our head, and sometimes we just let them go by and not use them, or, you know, brush them off as just some random thought. But I like that you take the time to stop what you're doing and write that down, and I hope that helps develop more story ideas for you over time.
I have a stack of like 20 notebooks with books started.
Awesome. Well, good. That leads into the next question of, what are you working on now?
So right now I have my next book I'm hoping to publish in 2024. It's called Bathophobia on Lincoln Street. And it's more of a intense type of book about a girl who has bathophobia, which bathophobia is a fear of stairs. And yeah, I'm doing the final touches on that book, and I'm hoping, my big goal is to publish this year, or 2024, with that one.
Well, I look forward to hearing more about that. I'm not familiar with that condition, so that should be an interesting one to explore. So tell me a little bit about your publishing experience and your plans. Your first book, Finding the Strength to Prevail, was published through Palmetto Publishing. There's so many more tracks and options now than there used to be in publishing, so I wanted to ask you about your journey.
So my journey with publishing, I did 2 months worth of research trying to find the right publishing company. And I had finally found one that I knew that I was going to go with. I set up my assessment appointment and I texted my daughter and told her I did it. I set up my assessment. She says, Mom, can you please send me the information of who you're going to go with? And I did. 10 minutes later, she's like, Mom, you have to get on and look at the Better Business Bureau complaints or whatever. Mm. She says they have so many complaints against them. You do not want to go with them. So I got on and looked, and the complaints were things about the pages falling out. They never follow through. They never call you back, things like that. And I thought, oh, wow. So my research continued looking for a publisher. Well, I found Palmetto Publishing and set up my assessment. I was nervous as heck to do my assessment. And they were so amazing. Like, they held my hand through everything. I had no idea what I was doing. And they communicated with me on a basis. They approved every single little detail of everything with me before we did anything. And in 7 weeks, they had my book published on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They had a newswire for me. And anyway, it was an amazing experience with Palmetto Publishing.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And that's great that your daughter was able to help you with maybe avoiding a less enjoyable experience with a publisher to start with. But yeah, I'm glad that you found one that worked well for you and were very helpful and communicative. Well, and as we wrap up, we are just about out of time, but I did want to give you a minute to tell people where they can find you, and just to remind our listeners that today's guest was Marie Stewart, and her book is Finding the Strength to Prevail, and it's available pretty widely, as you mentioned. So if people are interested in staying in contact and keeping an eye out for your next book, where is the best place for them to do that?
So my website is mariestewart.org, and if you go to my website, it has a contact spot where you can contact me. It's through email, and then I can get back with you. My books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and many other places, and my ebook is available on Kindle. As soon as I know for sure what will be going on with my new book, I will put it on my website as well.
Awesome.
And I just wanted to tell you, I just ordered your Eliza Carlisle mystery series.
Oh, nice. Well, I hope you enjoy it. That's been a fun series to work on.
I started the first one, and I can't hardly put it down. It is so good. I can't wait to get it.
Oh, good. I'm trying to get back to some writing this coming year. It's been a little bit crazy this past year, but that's been one I've really enjoyed working on and having fun with those characters. They're all a little kooky, but they keep it interesting.
Oh, I love it. I love the writing. Yeah, cool. I just love it.
Well, thank you for taking the time to check that out. And thank you as well for spending your day after Christmas when we're recording this, taking some time out to chat with me about your book. And I hope people take a minute to go check it out and enjoy the wonderful characters that you've created.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.